It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode of BGN Radio is brought to you by Clip It, the hottest app that is out there. Watch TV, make clips, and share. For more information, check them out at clipit.tv or check them on Twitter at clipittv.
Fit Squad, next level, BGN Radio, let's go. Welcome to the next level, the creme de la creme, Saran Davenport, Barrett Brooks, linked with BGN. Next level boys breaking down the game of the podcast out, but they not the same. TD the fly one, peep the suits and the wingtips. Honest opinions from the Gibsons to the Winces. I'm left-handed, Barrett Brooks, got my blind side. Super Bowl winner, see the game from a champ's eyes. Route concepts down, the techniques in the trenches. You wanna learn football? And tune in and listen. BGN Radio, next level podcast. You thinking about discussing the Eagles? Better stop that. From senior bowl workouts to the draft, down to training camp, breakdowns of all 22. They the best at that. Special insights, giving sight to the blind. So sit down, push play, and when they done, rewind. Next level.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Next Level Podcast. I'm Teron Davenport. And I'm here with Barrett Brooks. It is week four, and it's time to get into this upcoming matchup. Take a look back at a miraculous win, the miracle. Lucky at the link, I guess you could call
lucky
it.
Lucky at the link. Love it, bro.
That's what happened, man. You know, they let a team hang around, and they had to get a 61-yard field goal to allow them to win the game. And here we are going into week four. The Eagles have a record of 2-1, and they're sitting pretty as far as the NFC East is concerned. So, speaking of the NFC East, this matchup, anything particular jump out to you when you watch this game?
The fact that, you know, Doug Peterson outcoached Spags. He outcoached him. I mean, you look at what they had out on the field when they started running the rock. They put in big 13 personnel, the Eagles did, with one big tackle playing the tight end and two tight ends. And Spags kept in nickel.
Yeah.
Gave him a gift. So, you know, the old Doug, I think, would have just kept on trying to throw it even though they gave him the opportunity to run the rock. But he took advantage of it. He ran the rock against a smaller unit of guys out there. You know, you take a linebacker out and put a safety in, and that's what you call nickel. Well, the Eagles countered that, brought in a tackle and two tight ends. That's like goal line offense. Mm-hmm. And ran a rock on them, made them like it.
Yeah, they started the game in 12 personnel, as a matter of fact. And then, you saw Vitai come in as a tackle eligible, and they just, you know, they went big, and they said, we're going to do what we've been telling them they needed to do anyway.
No question.
We're going to put our shoes next to each other, and we're going to establish what it is we came to do, and that's run the football. And they did it to the success of 193 yards rushing. And
It's
a long time coming. And it's something that they needed to do. And for me, when I look at this win, I think it really established balance on offense. It showed that Carson Wentz does not have to be the guy for them to win a football game. They could win a game without Wentz as the guy. I don't know how many attempts he had, but the fact of the matter, he had under 200 yards passing. He did have a passing touchdown, but make no mistake about it, their offense was a running game.
Yeah, and if you look at it, you know, it really shows maturity of him, because he then was able to sit back, read the defense, and not be rushed as much because the defense was back on their heels because you're running the ball. So I like that he's growing and understanding, and maybe then he'll start, you know, voicing this opinion, hey, coach, you know, let's run it now. Let's run it now. Maybe he'll give him a little insight too. But, for a young quarterback to throw over 50 times a game, he was averaging over that going into this game. You know, that's almost a travesty to put all that on his shoulders. But now that, you know, Doug said, hey, we're going to run the rock, and I think he listened to the critics for once and started running the ball, and it helped him up. It's probably the most pivotal piece of them winning this game.
Yeah, and I talked to LeGarrette Blount after the game, and he had a good point, and it's something that, you know, we all understand and we all know, but to hear a guy in that situation say it is a good thing. And he said just about sticking to the running game, and I asked him about the importance of doing that, and he said that's what they have to do. He said that they found a formula that can allow them to win games, but more importantly, he said there's only two or three guys, maybe one or two guys in this league that you could throw the ball 50 times and expect to win.
Exactly.
And you know, he didn't call anybody out. He said, you guys know who they are. And he just reinforced the point that it's meant you have to run the football. And I think you see that Monday night against the Cowboys and Cardinals. You saw Ezekiel Elliott just continue to be more effective. And we talked about this and mentioned it, the way the running game is able to evolve and progress as you get later in the game. And Elliott, let's face it, he runs hard, but he's not 255, 260 pounds like Blount is. So this is a guy that you really should use as a battering ram. You saw them give him more carries, and the thing I love about it, he ran hungry.
Well, and then he showed some shiftiness. And everybody said he wasn't hit the hole hard. He didn't have the opportunity to hit the hole hard. He didn't run with the first team offense when they were in the preseason. You know, he got only a couple, two or three carries with the first team offensive line. Come on, man, you can't think that you could judge a guy off that. He showed explosiveness, showed shiftiness. Keep feeding that big guy. He could definitely make something happen. Okay, try to make him a feature back. It doesn't matter to me because he's gonna fall forward for 5 yards. Now you're starting off at second and five as opposed to second and 10 or maybe second and 15 because, you know, Carson gets sacked. Don't put all the earnest on that offensive line being great. Let them be great running the ball as opposed to passing the ball.
When you get in that second and five and even third and five type situation, the availability, like the portion of the playbook that you could choose from just expands, and you become less predictable. So that's a great point. And when you look at just in addition to Blount, who ran really well, a lot of people forget. The leader in rushing was Wendell Smallwood.
Yes,
and exactly. This is another guy that ran with a sense of urgency. It reminded me of when the pads first went on, first went live. You saw he was on a different gear than the others, and especially in that late drive that they had. I mean, he had three straight touches. You know, the first one was a nice game. Then he caught the ball, and then he had another running play. He had to pop out, but then he came back in two plays later. And I think Wendell Smallwood is another one that's going to continue to evolve in his offense.
Well, they have to. You know, he's probably the most talented as far as, you know, being an every down back that they have. You know, speed, quickness, and, you know, not big size, but big enough size that he can go in and he can handle, you know, the rigor mores of going in there and running in between those tackles. Corey Clement came out and said, all right, you give me some touches, I can make something happen too. How about that?
Amen.
How about that?
Bo Jackson, boy, I tell you. Listen, you know, you guys know if you've been listening to this show, if you've been following me on Twitter, you've been reading my work. I have not been the biggest advocate of Corey Clement, but I will say this. He set the tone for the Eagles in that game.
No question.
Because that 35-yard kickoff return where he didn't even think he told me that they have been watching film and it had really showed that the guy on the left was the one that they would mostly or no the guy on the left was the one that they would avoid kicking the ball to, and it was typically the guy on the right that would return the ball. And lo and behold, he got that kickoff, and he said that return just kind of knocked the jitters out. And that's something, you know, a lot of people that didn't play, like, you don't understand, like, once you get that first hit out of the way, now it's like, all right, now we can get rolling.
Now we can go
just,
to work.
It's just one of those things. Like, it's like the initiation of the game itself. So he got that out of the way, and he had the 15-yard carry. Really good job of getting into the end zone there and tying the game.
Well, you know, and if you look at him, not just is he going out there and contributing on special teams, but in regular offense, you can stay around the league a long time being able to do that. I mean, you talked, and I was, you know, in camp, and I kept telling you, man, Deuce likes this kid. You know, he feels as though he sees himself in this kid. He taught this kid how to really run the rock. It was different the way he ran when he was at Wisconsin as opposed to what he runs now. He runs more elusively now, yeah, as opposed to him just being a battering ram and trying to outrun people. Deuce made him chop his feet a little more, you know, slow his feet down in order to get faster. You know, you had to slow him down to get faster. And that's exactly what he did. Deuce did a great job of implementing this kid into the NFL and taking his time to really teach him how to run as an NFL running back and not as a college running back. And it made a huge difference. Another huge difference in his running game was, you know, I must concede and say that I was fooled. I was hoodwinked. I was bamboozled. I was run amok.
Led astray.
Yeah, I was led astray. I thought Chance was going to, given the chance, we'll go out there and demo. He didn't give me too much, man.
Oh.
He didn't give me too much, man. And so, you know, Wiz went in there and just balled. Wiz is a nasty dude too, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a nasty disposition to him. He wants you to go out there and he wants to fight you, man. And I like that. You need that type of guy. He feels as though he's been slighted too. He's been run amok.
Yeah.
You're like, you haven't given me an opportunity to play. He took that and ran with it. When he was in there, that's when they had the most offensive output when he was in the game. I think he may have won himself that left guard position.
I think it's been up in the air. Also, I think, I mean, you look at the snap distribution, obviously Sayamalo was zero, but Wiz had the most snaps. He played 44 snaps.
Exactly.
And it's funny, he does have that nasty streak. You know, this Joker, man, he's the only one in the locker room that didn't hold the door for me, man. Any other, you know, they'll be like, oh, yeah, come on through. He just left the door. I'm like, oh, yeah, but you know what? You're right, though. You want that in your guys
you
up front.
You want a nasty guy,
you know,
man.
And that's He's not mad. Something
He's
you
pissed.
Just turn on and turn off either.
Yeah, right. So, that's what I'm saying. He walks around pissed because he feels though he should be starting. This guy started the major part of his career. In fact, all of his career.
He
started
here.
Center. And I tell you what. He went out there and played his butt off, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what he went out there and did. He was finishing plays. And that was the biggest thing. He was finishing plays. And I think that's where you set the bar. He set the bar as far as how to play the game at the left guard position. Sayamalo and Chance just didn't finish plays. He's trying to dog you out. They're not trying to do that. He was trying to finish play. Even pass plays, he's trying to finish them. You got to have that, man. That's what helped me play 12 years in the NFL. Not because I was the biggest, strongest, the best athlete, you know, but he reminds me of myself because I would fight you every single play. I'm going to fight you every single. You're going to know you came out of a battle with me. You're going to be in that cold whirlpool after you get through with me in a game. You may have beat me. I'm going to get you. You're going to get me. But you knew you was in a dog fight the entire game. One too many people left the game was like, all right, I'm going out after we played B. Brooks. No, you're not going out, bro. We about to fight. We're going to leave everything out here and go from there. We're leaving everything. I'm not going out after the game. I'm fighting you every single play, and then we'll think about something on Tuesday or day off. But you ain't going nowhere tonight, babe. Nope.
What Mobb Deep say, I'm going out blessed and taking my enemies with me.
Right.
If not, you're scarred because you'll never forget me. So you'll never forget me. That's how it is, man. You know, it is a battle. But end of the day, this is a team that was able to pull off the win. Jalen Mills, I think we have to look at him and what he was able to do. People are going to say he was targeted 20 times. And, oh, he got beat for two touchdowns. I think Jim Schwartz explained it the correct way. Sometimes a guy who's a big-time player is going to make a big-time play. And what Schwartz said was that on that one-handed touchdown, it wasn't really anything that he could do. Mills was in good position. It just was a guy that you know, is an elite player.
Get you. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, the other play, I could understand, you know, the double move. They had been setting that up for most of the game anyway, you know, and taking advantage of the Eagles' DBs playing off. But I think Mills, for the most part, held his own. He kept everything in front of him except for, you know, that big touchdown and then obviously the second one. 8.8 yards per carry or catch for Odell Beckham Jr. I think that's solid, you know, to be able to hold guy like that to that minimum average.
You look at what he did, was able to accomplish. We're talking about major dude. Slay couldn't do that against Odell Beckham Jr. You look at all these big time DBs. He's going to get you. He's going to get that's mm-hmm. the type of talent he has. He is by far one of the shiftiest guys. Him and Antonio Brown are probably the shiftiest guys as far as receivers in the league. Nobody can really stop them. You can hold them down, but you can't stop them. And for him to keep everything in front of him and corral him, you know, he leads the team in tackles. He leads them in tackles. Now, the most telling statistic that if they targeted him and he didn't have any tackles, that mean they was running by him or scoring touchdowns or somebody else had to tackle him. No, he's making these tackles. He's stopping them. They catch him in front of him, he'll corral him and make it happen. You can't ask a DB to stop Odell Beckham Jr. It's just not happening.
Right.
It's just not happening.
And, you know, the thing is, and I'm glad you mentioned Antonio Brown because, you know, I will say and stand tooth and nail, he is the best receiver in the game. But the thing is, the similarity between the two is their ability to be so shifty, but how they stick in their foot in the ground, and they go 0-60 like a Lamborghini. Right. You know, and that's the thing that they were able to keep Beckham from doing. You look at the first Giants game last year, he caught that slant, a bad angle by Rodney McLeod. It's touchdown. You know what I mean? And that didn't happen this year
right.
as far as on the slant. So good job. So we'll kind of put a bow around that. One thing going into this week I definitely think has to happen for this team, Carson has to hit this deep ball. And
whoa,
I know people are saying, oh, well, he doesn't have a clean pocket. Go back and watch the three big opportunities that he missed. The pocket was clean.
Yes, it was.
Twice against the Redskins to Torrey Smith. He had another opportunity last week to Alshon and missed. And this is something that they have to be able to connect on, especially if they're going to be in these close games. When that opportunity presents itself, you have to take advantage.
Well, and that's becoming a major issue in my film study is he's just not hitting a deep ball. And I don't know how you develop that. Is that you get that in practice, throwing in practice, or, you know, maybe taking some time, you know, and just going out there and practicing it. I don't know. Some people have a touch for somebody. Some people have a feel for how to throw the deep ball.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't connected, you know, and we brought in the players in which you do that for. You know, you look at Smith, he's a guy you got to do that. Torrey Smith is as fast as all outdoors. Give him an opportunity to run up underneath it. Alshon, just throw it up, you know.
In the
and you
area.
Have to have a little, yeah, you got to have a little touch with that. And I haven't seen it thus far. We questioned that last year, but this year I'm starting to question a little more. I believe he is a really, really good quarterback, a really good quarterback. I'm talking about upper echelon quarterback. He's not an average guy. But, I mean, if there's any flaw in his game, I think that would be the only flaw he would have.
Yeah, that and his ability to throw receivers open. That's something, you know, as a receiver, you want your quarterback to lead you and allow you to catch the ball and explode with it. That's something I would like to see more of from him.
See, that's a receiver talking right now. I don't know anything about that. That's a receiver and you're talking right now.
Hey, you know, you watch it, man. You know, I want you to place the table for me and I'll sit down and eat. But you got to place it, you know. So speaking of throwing the deep ball, they're going against a guy who delivers the deep ball as well as pretty much anybody in the league, and Phillip Rivers. So in your film study, I mean, looking at Keenan Allen, obviously he's an established receiver. But, you know, what I see is Travis Benjamin and his ability to stretch the field. But I really like how they work Benjamin and allow him to break down and work his way back to the football because of his speed pushing DBs off.
Well, he definitely, you can tell just in the way he runs his route. He's running and looking them right in the eyes
mm-hmm.
and running up on their heels. He's trying to make them turn the corner. I mean, make the turn of hips. And I like the way he runs those type of routes. And then, you know, or he runs deep ends and things of that nature. He creates his own separation by how aggressively he runs the routes. These guys are going to really have to come with it. You know, I don't know who's going to be healthy in the secondary.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely a problem. You know, who's going to be back? But we're going to need some guys that really can be physical and understand that these guys are going to run and try to run past them all the time.
Yeah, it's going to be a matchup for this secondary. And I like the way watching a couple of their plays, you know, from the Chiefs game, you talk about the play action and you talk about some of the things that teams do to get that max protection. I mean, there were a few times where they had literally two-man routes. You know, the running backs were there and they were checking if anybody was coming. Then they released to the flat. But for the most part, it was two-man routes. And they liked to get Benjamin on that comeback. They moved the pocket over to the side that Benjamin's on, and they allow Phillip Rivers to use that big arm he has, throw it outside the numbers, you know, hash to the numbers, which is not an easy throw, on that deep comeback. And that's a way they get good yards.
Chunk yardage out of that, too. And they always have Mr. Reliable up underneath. You know, Antonio Gates is a guy that, you know, he's been doing it for years. He say, well, he may not be as fast as he used to be. I don't know how that sucker does it, but he always ends up open, man.
He uses that body, man. And they like to do those turn routes, you know, and allow him to just turn around and just post up. You know what I mean? And it's like
stop routes,
you're just waiting to see somebody shoot the basketball. Yeah. You want to see a bounce off the rim because that's what he's doing in the middle of the field. So this I think is going to be the hardest matchup. If they go man, it's going to be the hardest matchup in my book for Malcolm Jenkins because Malcolm has the quickness to move with – I mean, granted, you know, Jordan Reed shook him a couple times. Travis Kelce shook him. But for the most part, he has the quickness to match up against those type of tight ends.
Yes,
but
he does.
There's just nothing you could do against a guy that is able to use his body the way
– And lean on
Antonio
you.
Does. Yeah, and lean.
He can lean on you and still catch the rock. You know, some people don't get unbound. He can lean on you and still catch the rock. Hold you off with one hand and catch it with the other. You know, but the biggest thing also, we have to make sure to do stop the run. Melvin Gordon is going to try to tote that thing, and he's feeling some sort of way about how his season is going, how his career is going. So he's running harder than I've seen him run in a while.
I really like the way they run Melvin Gordon also. You know, they like to run those stretch plays and some of that outside zone kind of look. And, you know, when they're doing that, I was like, okay, well, he's going to cut it back. No, he didn't cut it back. There were times where he just said, all right, this is where it's flowing. I know the defense is flowing that way. I'm going to find a hole, and I'm going to make it do what it do. And
he's a little guy, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, Gordon is legit, man, and I think he's underrated. They started using him in the passing game also last year. So I think really the key to all this, they're going to have to stop that running game. And focus on Antonio Gates. And I mean, if I were the defensive coordinator, what I would do is make them beat me passing the football, and that's throwing it outside the numbers to your guys lining up outside.
And we got aggressive corners too that can break on stuff, you know. So, I mean, the matchup's going to be pretty good, you know, as long as they keep things in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Melvin Gordon, another one of those Wisconsin running backs, you know. So, you know, we'll see, man. This is going to be a game in which I want to see where they are in their development. You know, how much did they learn from the last three games as far as learning to win? You know, they were close to winning in Kansas City. They won in Washington. They won against the Giants. I want to see, can they still learn, you know, to really turn that corner and learn how to really win?
Yeah, a road game at that. I mean, a cross-country road game. And this is when that formula that I feel the best road teams have is being pack and play.
Yep.
To where you pack that defense up and you pack the running game up.
Yep.
And if you're able to do both of those successfully, you're going to win anywhere. I don't care where it is, whether it's Seattle, Kansas City, L.A., you know, the Carson, California, the StubHub Center, whatever they call this place. You could win if you're doing that. But when you look at this defense – there could be some issues, right? But we don't know if Jordan Hicks is going to play. We'll find
out the
quarterback of the defense and the guy that is really one of the major pieces in stopping that screen game, the guy who tends to be the first one to the football against the run. But more importantly, Fletcher Cox. He limped out of the locker room. Yeah. So, what's the deal there? If they don't have him, how much does that impact that defense?
Yeah, because, Bo Allen's my guy, man, but it's a difference between Bo Allen and Fletcher Cox. You have to game plan as an offense, Fletcher Cox. You have to know where he is at all times. He's that much of a dynamic player that when you're going through your passing game plan, you have to account for where this man is. Mm-hmm. And, yes, Jernigan is really, really good, but Jernigan and Fletcher Cox is better. And they need that. They need him out there. They need him to go in and alter what the offense is doing. Close that pocket up, pinch that pocket on Rivers, make it real uncomfortable for him. So it's going to be a point where he's going to have to step up and be that Pro Bowler we know he can be.
Yeah, so we'll see, man. Jernigan, like you mentioned, is a guy that has been generating press. It's not just sacks with him. There were numerous times last week where the pass breakups were the result, and even the interception, it was a result of him getting that pressure and causing Eli to alter his release point or not even be able to step into the football.
Exactly.
On the other side of the ball, you got Darren Sproles, who is done for the season. You hate to see a guy like Sproles.
My K-State guy, man.
You hate to see that, they call him Tank. You hate to see the little Tank have to go down. But I tell you what cracked me up, man. When he came off the field, the way he walked off the field so mad. And I was like, he reminds me, and I tweeted it. He walked off the field like a villain walking away from something. He just blew up, man. I was cracking up about that. But, you have him not in the game.
But hold on. How about he walks off like ain't nothing wrong with him, though?
Yeah. He did walk, and I remember because he had his fist balled up, and he just walked off.
Right. He ain't got a broken arm, right? And also, he tore his ACL. And he's walking like ain't nothing wrong. Like, he's mad. He's more pissed off than he is that he got to lead the game as opposed to him being hurt.
I think he's coming back.
I believe he'd be one of those guys that say, all right, I'm not going out like this.
Exactly. And that's why I think he's coming back. And I remember that happened 2 years ago with Steve Smith. I remember he said he was going to retire.
Yep.
Right?
I remember that.
And I ain't going to lie, I was depressed, man. Right. Steve Smith is one of my favorite players ever. I love watching him play.
You know what I mean? Man.
But he popped his Achilles. He came back last year and, had a decent season. I could see that same thing happening with Sproles. But just looking at this offense, so now they're going to have to figure out, how are we going to find that explosiveness? How are we going to replace that explosiveness? I don't think you can, but I think this is a week where you could go back to that running game. Kareem Hunt just last week, 172 yards against these cats. And if you watch the game, they didn't want to tackle him.
No.
They did not want to tackle him. So, once again, you got 262. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. You got 250 pounds running that football. And then you got another guy running like as if his life depends on it in Wendell Smallwood.
Yep.
And then you got Clement, who is learning not to be a crash test dummy and actually run the football. I think they have a pretty good rushing attack. This is a week they should run the ball.
Absolutely. There's no question about it, especially you in enemy territory across the country. Keep it simple. I'm always a firm believer that KISS technique. Mm-hmm. Keep it simple, stupid. You know what I mean?
I agree 100%. But when they want to throw the ball, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention Joey Bosa. We know that this is a guy that has the ability to use that one arm and just hit a one-arm stab and just drive an offensive lineman wherever he wants to go. So Bosa is definitely a factor, relentless motor. You look at Melvin Ingram, he brings it also. They're pretty stacked along the line, but then you get to the linebackers, and more importantly, you get into the secondary. They're without Jason Verrett. You have Casey Hayward, a former Pro Bowler. Right. 2 years ago, I think it was. You got the rookie Desmond King, who I think if they could get – now, this is a week
out
where –
out of Iowa.
This is a week, I'm going to say this. If they could get Aguilar matched up against him, they could take advantage of that to the 1,000th power.
Well, that's why I think is going to be the guy that's going to replace all that explosiveness or try to emulate that in the third down situation. He's gonna have to step up. And I think he can. I think Nelson is ready to step up and be that third down guy they've been looking for, as opposed to Sproles.
Somebody's gonna have to do it. And I think this is another opportunity for Aguilar to excel. It's all about creating those matchups. This week, I think that's the matchup that they could create. One of the touchdowns that the Chiefs had last week, they went to they had trips on the left side, and the guy all the way inside, number three, was Tyreek Hill. I forget who was on the outside, but they ran, you know, all
Conley.
Go.
Yeah, it was Conley and what's his name from
was it Wilson?
Oregon. No, from Oregon.
D'Anthony Thomas.
Yeah, D'Anthony Thomas.
Okay. Why the safety did not go deep into the deep and allow Tyreek Hill to run that deep arrow I don't want to call it an arrow route because he didn't cross the field all the way, but he kind of just, it was kind of like a subtle in-breaking route. Why that safety did not, and they had the linebacker drop back also. It looked like quarters coverage, but I couldn't really decipher what it was. But the fact of the matter is you had Trey Boston to sit there and allow the fastest man in football to cross his face, and it was a touchdown. I think it was like a 30-yarder. So I want to see if they could get back to that trips formation that the Eagles used where they had Torrey Smith in the slot and see if they could attack the field vertically and maybe not get that deep shot like that, but you have Alshon coming in on that dig route underneath.
Yeah, can we trust that, you know, Carson throw it, man? That's the only thing. Man.
And it goes back to something I had a problem with Carson before, and that's believing what he's seeing.
Yeah.
And that goes hand in hand with holding on to the football too long.
Yep.
You see your receiver just beginning to break open.
You gotta throw
the ball.
Because a lot of times it was waste. They'd be all the way open before he would throw it.
Yeah, and you can't do that.
When they were going in, I saw one time where, you know, I said Nelson, but it wasn't Nelson. It was Alshon because I saw 17 and kind of popped in my head. I'm like, no, it was Alshon sitting in the end zone right there. I mean, sitting by himself. He just ran a stop route in the end zone. Boom, all they had to do was throw it to him.
Just get it out. And that's where – and some of the Eagles fans, they get pissed off, but I really see the Alex Smith comparison as legit. I when Wentz was coming out – you know, I made the comparison, Alex Smith, a mix of Alex Smith and Blake Bortles,
because mm-hmm.
you know, he's bigger than Alex Smith, but he's athletic like Smith. I think it's the same play, because I remember Alex Smith when he was first coming up in San Francisco. It was always that case, that hesitation. He would see a guy open, but he wouldn't throw the only time he would throw the football without caring was the seam route to Vernon Davis. That was the only time. And they would do it week after week after week and just kill teams with it. But for Wentz, that's something he has to do. And I think this is something that they could go to, man. I would really focus on finding ways to get Trey Boston mixed up in coverage. You know, whether it's the divide route where you got the dig and post over top, there's going to be opportunities. They just have to hit it. So it goes back to hitting that deep ball, hitting the intermediate crossing route. Looking at this game, though, when you look at the score, I think – the Eagles are going to go out there and handle their business. I think it's going to be something along the lines of like a 28-17 type of score. That's what I'm looking for in this game. What's your take on the matchup, and what would you say is your score?
My final score would probably be 24-18, right around the same thing. I really believe that the Eagles will play okay going into the game, but then they'll turn it on at the end of the game, and that's when they'll win towards the end of the game, as opposed it being the flip before. I think they're going to, you know, turn on the end of the game. It's going to be tough for them being all on the West Coast. They're flying out on Saturday as opposed to being on Friday to play a game on Sunday. That might be a problem. So I think it'll be kind of slow into getting it going, but once they get it going, they're not going to be able to stop them. They're going to keep it on. So that's what I see. I think Doug's going to still continue to try to run the ball. And I think that's why the Eagles get a victory, because he's going to stick to running the ball again and seeing that, yes, that's how you win games.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting they're flying out on Saturday instead of Friday. Normally, West Coast, you fly out on Friday.
Friday, you know, give everybody a day to get used to the time changes and, you know, then go to battle. I don't know. You know, you have so many ways in which you could, you know, look at this. You know, if you look at – West Coast teams where they hate to come east because it's early. You got to turn that clock on earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, a 1 o'clock game is really to them like a 10 o'clock game. You know, so it's this is where your chess pieces are. You know, this is, for the first time, this is where Doug is going to have to see, you know, and play chess. We'll see.
I think in chess, if you want to attack first, one way they could do it, come out with that tempo offense. You want to create the sense of urgency.
He's one of the best at that. I will say that. Carson is great at running that two-minute offense.
He's so rhythmic, and that's the thing. So, all right, folks, that's the show. We both are taking the Eagles in San Diego. Definitely. I did it.
L.A., baby.
John Clark, I owe you $20. I got you, boss. In L.A., they're going to be in L.A. So I'm Teron Davenport. For Barrett Brooks, be sure to continue to go to Clippets.
Go to Clippets.
Make sure you pull. We didn't get any this week, so, you know, got to step that game up if you want us to break down some plays. We'll be sure to do it. That's it for me, Barrett. Parting shots.
I'm going to say, let's go, Birds. I mean, we cut it too close last week. I can't keep taking these tums, 10 tums, watching the game. Let's go ahead and win it outright just real quick. And like I say, at B Brooks 72, CSN.
At T Davenport _NFL. It. And that's all, folks.